Good morning. Gliding into 5:45 and a 5-degree Thursday, the 17th of February. And with a little bit of wind, we're getting anywhere from -3 to -10 for the wind chill this morning. And good morning to our buddy, Jason Cairns. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, what I'm pondering for the question of the morning, and I'm just kind of back and forth on this, is the Super Bowl of NASCAR is Sunday. They start their season with the Super Bowl, a little different, and so that's the Daytona 500. And I guess they had some qualifying last night, and I don't have any information on it in front of me. But the question I'm wrestling with bringing is, and I don't want it to be overly negative, but I want to just say, do you like NASCAR? Are you a fan of NASCAR and auto racing in general? And ask people to weigh in. So is that question overly negative or what?
I don't know if it's overly negative. I think it's an interesting question to ask. Certainly this time of year, the Super Bowl gets a lot of attention, and
yeah.
This year, I think the Olympics does. But I don't watch NASCAR. I have friends from my hometown. Some of my best friends growing up are huge NASCAR fans. They'll drive around to, like Daytona and go see a race and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
I always thought it'd be fun to drive one of the cars, but I don't know that I would necessarily need to watch it.
Same thing, I guess, like Indy, a little different, the Indy cars. I mean,
yeah.
When I was a kid growing up, that was the big deal. It seemed like more than NASCAR,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Mario Andretti.
The Unser right. Brothers, Al and Bobby,
yep.
And
yep. Yep.
Mark
exactly.
Donahue. I mean, he had my same first name. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, all right, we'll throw it out this
yeah.
morning. Are you a NASCAR and auto racing fan? I would have to say
yeah.
I'm
Although,
not.
Yeah. Well, when the movie Days of Thunder came out,
yeah.
I was a huge NASCAR fan for a while because it was fun to watch them
yeah.
Drive around. So.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Last night I was actually at the, it's called Man Club. You've been there. I've been there. Fellowship Church, Perry Polnasek. And last night was a good one. So you see, it was promoted as Meat Night. And that is
yeah.
almost like once that's put up there, it's like men come from all around. It just is like a siren call. And
sure, of course.
Guys, particularly bringing steaks on the grill, even though the temperature, it was wonderful. And not one, but two different guys' birthdays, young and a little older, Isaac and Brian last night. And so, and one of the guys had been back for the first time in maybe many, many years. And so, but in the discussion, one of the reasons I bring it up is because we did kind of, for the birthday guys, you'd go around and basically you said what you appreciated about them or you spoke a blessing. And that's just really cool. And we did it for both. And, but in there, we read a bit of scripture and shared. And one of the guys said, I follow Jason Cairns on Facebook. And he said, I like his take on the Bible. And I want to see if you agree, if this is your take. He said, he said he understood your take on the Bible as it's about love and it's not about being right and it's not about telling other people how they're wrong. What did you think about his understanding of your take that way?
You know, I couldn't ask for a better endorsement. I think that it really captures what I was going for there. You know, I think I really believe that the Bible, God is about love, and we see that embodied through Jesus. Really try to tell the story that way. You know, I know you and I have talked on here that it's really about relationship, right? And it's
yeah.
a relationship expressing itself through love. And
mm-hmm.
So often I think we can use scripture in a way to try to manipulate or beat other people up. And I think that we miss the intention when we do so. Even if we say that we think we're doing it out of love, a lot of times we're not, you know, it's about here, I have the right answer for you. And we don't stop to listen. We don't stop to consider the person in front of us. And I think that was one of the things Jesus did best was really pay attention to the person in front of him, to be able to share his message of love, and say, you know, the way that you find life is through following me on this path.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, certainly there's plenty of verses about it. I mean, and one of the, what Francis Schaeffer called the mark of the Christian, John 13, 34 mm-hmm. and 35, you write about it in Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus, the book, the devotion.
Yep.
I mean, the idea of love one another as I have loved you. This is how the world's going to know you're my disciples, by your love for one another. So,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So,
well, encouraging.
Yeah, it is. You know, it was also encouraging. My dad called last night. I haven't talked to him for a few weeks now. And he said, hey, I finished reading Letters to the Beloved last night.
Wow.
And yeah, it was really neat. So I talked to my mom afterward, and she said, you know, that's really cool that he did that. She said, because when he was in high school, he would never read anything.
Huh.
And I said, you know, it's funny. I said, because he made the exact same comment. And, you know, he just was not a good student. Barely passed, and now to have finished this massive book is such an encouragement to me to hear that he had finished that up. So,
I mean, others have been reading, and maybe others have finished, but have you heard anybody else who'd read through the whole thing prior to that?
Yeah, just one of our listeners.
Okay.
Jerome, I think, has finished reading it. But other than that, no one else I know of has read through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So,
terrific
stuff.
All right. Well, we'll get to Colossians tomorrow. I didn't know that, but it was good to be able to share that with you. So,
awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Our buddy Jason Kanz, jasoncanz.com. Letters to the Beloved, devotional commentary. Took him about 6 years to write through the whole New Testament.
Well, if you could get back to me ASAP, and then I'll circle back and we'll have some synergy and give 110% because we're all team players.
Use them all in a sentence, right?
There's lingo, there's jargon that's commonly used, at least in the American workplace, that more and more workers are saying, I wouldn't mind being rid of that. Two-thirds of workers in a recent survey, 63%, said it's off-putting when their colleagues use workplace jargon in messages while communicating with them, because most of these things are not things that we would say out loud, I would say, and yet somehow in an email, these phrases get used all the time. There are crutch phrases in the workplace. Here they are.
Yeah, ASAP.
15% of people said, yeah, I can't stand that one. How about keep me in the loop, another 15%. And again, these percentages aren't really high because there's so many phrases that we're tired of. But ASAP and keep me in the loop, nope, we could be done with those.
That one makes me think of Fruit Loops. Just checking in.
Oh, I've used that one too much. team player.
No, I like that one, though. I mean, I want people to be a team player.
Sure.
Okay. This one bothers me kind of. Give it 110%. There's
not physically possible.
And then people want to outdo that and say 150%.
Yeah, workplace jargon we dislike from a recent survey. Sorry for the delay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hate this one.
Okay, go ahead.
New normal.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was okay for a little bit, and then we realized, you know what? I don't even know if we're ever going back to anything like it was, and
right.
I don't know if I like normal now anyway, so...
And here's
stop.
The thing. Normal is a town in Illinois, and as Patsy Claremont taught us on Focus in the Family years ago, it's just a setting on the dryer, right?
Okay. There you go.
How about this one? No worries.
No worries.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of no worries. Workplace jargon we dislike from a recent survey, touch base or touching mm-hmm. base, or some people say touching bases.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that would bother me, actually. think outside the box.
Yeah. Loop me in. Oh, man. I've got that one in so many emails from people. If you could just loop me in.
Okay.
Sure.
More Fruit Loops. Back to square one.
I haven't heard that one as much, but sure.
It's like chutes and ladders. Back to the beginning.
Going along, two more here. Workplace jargon we really dislike when giving them in emails and other memos. Circle back.
Mm.
I think that ties right in with loop me in.
And here's one that deals with spelling. There's no I in team.
We've realized that, Bob. Thank you.
There we go. Well, some fun here on a Thursday morning. Some things that Hollywood has tricked us into believing, Caleb.
We've been duped by the movies.
Mm-hmm.
We started believing these things, but they're just not true. Things the movies in Hollywood have tricked the general population into believing. How about this? You can pull the tab off a hand grenade with your teeth. Pretty sure doing that would have the reverse effect. You probably would lose teeth and a lot more.
Uh-uh, MacGyver can do it.
Next time you have a grenade to... Just don't.
Oh, yeah. Something else Hollywood's tricked us into believing is that air conditioning ducts are an easy way to sneak through buildings.
You know, with the obesity epidemic in America, I'm not sure most of us could make it through air ducts, but Tom Cruise can. Things Hollywood has tricked the general population to believing through the movies that all cars are made of unstable explosives, right? One shot from a pistol and all of a sudden it explodes.
Yep. There you go. How about that car doors are somehow bulletproof?
Yes. So when you want the car to explode, it's very unstable. But when the hero is driving in it, somebody mm-hmm. with a gat can just spray bullets all along the side and he'll never get hit. Speaking of explosives, things Hollywood has tricked the general population into believing any hero can outrun a giant explosion. Won't even get singed. He'll just kind of tuck and roll.
It makes it exciting. Also that you can shoot somebody in the leg and it's harmless.
Bleeding from the leg. things Hollywood has tricked the general population into believing here on the Wib Wake Up Show. If you keep bothering her long enough, she'll fall for you. That's what they say in rom-coms. Nah, she's just going to think you're creepy and get a restraining order. Don't
freedom
do it.
Is the fuel of romantic love. James Dobson, love must be tough. Yes. You can enhance photos despite the grain pixelation.
Right? When somebody in the special agent is like, oh, just zoom in on that. Enhance that.
Right.
No, it's blurry. It won't work. And finally, things Hollywood has tricked the general population into believing that helicopters can sneak up out of nowhere. Have you heard a helicopter before? They're not sneaky.
There you go. Now you're educated and you won't be fooled again. Well, we've got a very talented artist who's been in our area a number of times last year, Jason Gray. And, you know, we can't have him just in Western Wisconsin. I mean, you know, we love to have him both. He was in March 7th, I want to say. He was in Cumberland and Northern Lakes
Church,
community.
Yeah.
And then at One Fest, not once, but twice, really, Saturday. And then he was there on Sunday. He did the Sunday service, which is free to the public. And then he was back in the fall at the Rutabaga Festival in Cumberland. Well, he's posting on Facebook that he's excited to return to the Badger State again this weekend, tomorrow night. He really says this. He says, I think he's a native Minnesotan. And he says, it's truly one of my favorite states to play because of how wonderful the audience always is. And says he's looking forward to test driving some new songs, including one he wrote just last week that he's excited about. If he can get it programmed into his head and his hands enough to pull it off. So he's going to be in Oshkosh tomorrow night.
Man, I'd love to go. And again, I don't get tired of hearing Jason Gray and not only what he sings, but also what he says in between. And this is something several years ago, he was here in studio with us. And I remember actually he had a daughter with a birthday and we had a bunch of apples in our break room. And so we did apple stacking and on the air for whatever reason. And he was like, this is a good party game. I'm going to bring this home for my daughter's birthday. But this was from his album, A Way to See in the Dark. And there was a song that he played live for us called The Sound of Our Breathing. And it became my absolute favorite song on the album. And I was trying to remember through the years how he described this song. And now I found it on Facebook. A woman named Sandra wrote this down. I'm not sure if it's original to her or not. But really the same things that Jason was describing. And so let me just read this for you. And again, this isn't from me. This is from a lady in Houston. She says, there was a moment when Moses had the nerve to ask God what his name is. God was gracious enough to answer, and the name he gave is recorded in the original Hebrew as capital Y, capital H, capital W, capital H. Now, over time, we've arbitrarily added an A and an E in there to get Yahweh, presumably because we have a preference for vowels in our language. But scholars and rabbis have noted that the letters Y, H, W, H represent breathing sounds or aspirated consonants. When pronounced without intervening vowels, it actually sounds like breathing. Y-H, yuh, inhale, W-H, whew, exhale. And so, again, yuh, whew. In the Hebrew, it sounds much more beautiful than my broken attempts here. But what she goes on to say is this. So a baby's first cry, its first breath, speaks the name of God. A deep sigh calls out his name, or a groan or gasp that is too heavy for mere words. Even an atheist would speak his name, unaware that their very breathing is giving constant acknowledgement to God. I remember Jason said this. He said, even when the atheist says, there is no God, he is speaking the actual name of God, even as he's denying his existence. This woman goes on, likewise, a person leaves this earth with their last breath when God's name is no longer filling their lungs. So when I can't utter anything else, is my very cry calling out his name? Being alive means I speak his name constantly as I breathe. Is it heard the loudest when I'm quietest and only breathing? In sadness, we breathe heavy sighs. In joy, our lungs feel almost like they will burst. In fear, we hold our breath and have to be told to breathe slowly to help us calm down. When we're about to do something hard, we take a deep breath to find our courage. When I think about it, she says, breathing is giving him praise, even in the hardest moments. And she finishes this way. This is so beautiful and fills me with emotion every time I grasp the thought. God chose to give himself a name that we can't help but speak every moment we're alive. All of us, always, everywhere, waking, sleeping, breathing with the name of God, the very name of God, our creator, on our lips.
And here is that song you're referencing, The Sound of Our Breathing, Jason Gray in Oshkosh tomorrow night. Love this, brother. Thank you, Caleb.
Everybody draws the very first breath with your name upon their lips. Every one of us is born of dust, but come alive with heaven's kiss.
Great music and lyrics you can trust. Jason Gray, The Sound of Our Breathing, WWIB. And we've posted the explanation you read up on our WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page, right?
Yeah, so at WWIB Mornings, the WIB Wake Up Show on Facebook. You can check it out there if you'd like to see what we read from. Well, Disney fans, have you always wanted to live in a whole new world? Have you wanted to be in those Disney movies and say, you know what? I'd like to fly on that magic carpet with Aladdin. I'd like to see Andy's room in person. I'd like to live in Arendelle as long as Elsa warmed it up a bit. Well, now you can, sort of, kind of. Disney, in real life, IRL, in internet parlance, is developing residential communities across the United States.
Yeah, fans are soon going to be able to call Disney home. The company yesterday announcing the launch of Story Living is what they call it, a new community for Disney fans to live in that incorporates the company's brand of magic. Disney says the planned communities are intended to inspire residents to foster new friendships, pursue their interests, and write the next exciting chapter in their lives, all while enjoying the attention to detail, unique amenities, and special touches that are Disney hallmarks. It sounds expensive to me.
It does. It does. It sounds kind of cool. Disney Imagineers will develop the community's concept while working with developers and home builders. What kind of home would you have? A Peter Pan Never Never Land theme, or maybe one with beautiful flowers like Mulan? Story living communities will also include Now, if you've ever been to Disney, you realize they get you with the initial price, and then it's the upgrades, the amenities, right? So Story Living Communities will also include a club membership so that residents can access curated experiences such as wellness programming and entertainment, do your morning yoga with Mickey, live performances, cooking classes, seminars, and more.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, don't take it personal, Caleb, but some neighborhoods will also be for residents age 55 and up, so.
I hope I still have this much imagination when I'm that age.
Disney's Disney's first story living location will be in Rancho Mirage, California. Speaking of imagination, perfect lead-in, you didn't even know it. On a throwback Thursday, Scott Crepane, Wild Imagination on WWIB.